One of my friends,
he's a pastor at Asian Baptist Church just down the road, and he says that God called him to speak on lukewarm Christianity. And on that particular Sunday, he shared that message. That message on that particular Sunday. And when he did, there was one person in the room that stood up, and that message was so convicting. And later he realized that through a conversation with the person that he had been with friends for 40 years, and he did not commit his life to Christ. And so it's been living non-believing life. And it's crazy that even when God calls you to speak, even in His house, that there are going to be some people who you're going to frustrate. There will be people who will be angry with you. I remember when in my final year of final semester of high school, I just applied at University of New Brunswick because I wanted to study science, and my parents wanted me to study science. And in fact, African parents, they're really tough on their kids when it comes to education. I remember in grade 11, they made me to take all the academic classes. I wasn't allowed to take applied classes. And so that was one of their toughness, you know, their parenting. And so in my final semester, you know, I applied, I got accepted. They were happy that I got in to study science. And then later on, a few months, my desires and passions started to change. And then I told my parents that, Mom, I really sense that God is calling me to study theology. What? Yes, Mom, I'm positive that God is calling me to study theology. What are you going to do with that? That was the answer. Mind you, they're Christians too, right? But they had a vision for my life. They had a plan for my life. And the plan was to get into medicine and to do that. Whereas God had different plans. And me too, like I thought that was my plan as well, to go to University of New Brunswick to study science. But then my desires change. I'm really passionate about the church, and I'm really passionate about the academy. And when I talk about the academy, I mean the theological academy. God has given me a passion for theology and also the church, to really combine the church and the university together. What happens in the theological academy has bearing on what also happens in the church. There needs to be connected, and at times those two worlds are apart, and that's what I'm passionate about. And so when I told my parents that I got into the PhD program at TST, at UFT, they got excited, so their passion, their support doubled. It's like, well, I really wish you showed that enthusiasm at the beginning, you know, support. You know, it is as though once you gain some success, you know, parents start to see, oh, maybe this is from God. But the thing is, with Abraham, God called him to leave his land, for a land that, you know, he never actually, like, the promise that God made to him wasn't even fulfilled in his time. And yet Abraham faithfully committed to God and left his house because God had called him to leave his country for a country that God was going to give. And so when God calls us to do certain things, we will frustrate other people. But also other people will also support us. And so this morning, I'm going to be speaking to you about embracing God's call. And God's call on your life, it's also demanding. And the kingdom truth is that every person has a call on his life or her life in Christ. And I do not want you to think that God's call is limited only to serving full-time in ministry. But God's call is multifaceted. Each call has a goal, right? There is a goal to your call. Otherwise, it wouldn't be a call if you weren't directed to do a specific task. As we mature in our walk with Christ, our desires change. We begin to desire what God desires. We begin to learn that our passions, skills, and talents were given to us by God. These skills and talents serve as confirmation for whatever work we passionately choose. We also learn that God is also concerned about our well-being and as well as others' well-being. In our intimate moments with God, we also hear God's call to serve, to correct, to encourage, to pray, to speak truth, to build, to stand against evil, convict, forgive our wrongdoers, and to share the truth with people who may not like it. God's call is demanding, and it provokes people. When we consider Jeremiah's call, his call came with a price. It was not glamorous by Hollywood standard. Jeremiah's call was about bringing restoration, spiritual restoration, in the kingdom of Judah. And so, at the time of Jeremiah, a lot of kings in the kingdom of Judah did evil in their eyes. And what that means is, and scripture says this, that they worshipped idols. They built altars to Baal. They practiced child sacrifices, divinations, and witchcraft, and sought omens. And this was the spiritual climate of the day. Each king did evil in the Lord's eyes. And so when God calls Jeremiah, he tells him that you are going to stand against these kings. You are going to stand against these officials who have been doing evil in my eyes. And Jeremiah, mind you, is young. And so he receives this call from God to confront the kings of Judah, the authorities, the people of Judah, for their wickedness and their rebellion against God. Jeremiah was persecuted, assaulted by his people. Prophets are not always welcomed in their own hometown. Others tried to kill him, but God rescued him. Though Jeremiah was apprehensive about what he was required to do, he finally embraced God's call with courage and confidence. So when God calls us, here are the points of the sermon. When God calls us, we're encouraged to respond to his call, not by making excuses, number two, not by being afraid, number three, but to respond with courage and confidence. Those are the 3 points. I don't know why preachers love 3-point sermons, but there you have it. Let's look at point number one. God makes it clear to Jeremiah that he has a plan for him, and that Jeremiah was destined for this plan way before he was conceived. This call on Jeremiah's life is not one that is glamorous, though it may have been comforting for Jeremiah to know that God knew him before he was born. The role which God assigns him will bring pain and trouble in this life. The life of Jeremiah will become one of alienation, suffering, and of pain. That being said, God appoints him to be a prophet to the nations, and his appointment places Jeremiah above kings. And the role that Jeremiah plays is overwhelming and dangerous. He has to stand against these officials, these kings, and he's young, and he tells God, God, I don't have the right words to say to these people. What am I going to say to them? Look, I'm young. These are older, powerful people, leaders, kings with power. And yet God calls Jeremiah, who has no political power, to stand up against these people, these nations. And sometimes when God calls us, we tend to make excuses. And these excuses may be reasonable and genuine. It's true, Jeremiah was young. It is true. He didn't know what words to say to these people. And yet, in spite of those excuses that Jeremiah shares, God still calls him anyways. And it is because of those excuses that God calls him. And it's interesting how God, in the Bible, repeatedly, he uses the weak to shame the strong. He uses the small, like David, to conquer the giants of our world. Repeatedly. And in this case, he calls Jeremiah, who is young, with no political power, to stand against these kings, to stand against these authorities, to stand against the people. And what's also interesting is that Jeremiah, he comes from the smallest clan of Israel, the Benjamites. And repeatedly through scripture, we see God doing that. And he tends to do that even today, using the marginalized to do mighty works in our world. God nevertheless calls us to do mighty things in ordinary fashions, in spite of our weaknesses, failures, and social status. And when I think about how God uses people who are weak and marginalized, I think about Moses. When God calls Moses, the first thing he says, who am I? Why are you calling me to go and free your people in Egypt? And if you remember, Moses, he fled Egypt because he killed a person there. He doesn't want to go back there. Why do you want me to go back there? Who am I? And then God says, I will be with you when you go. And then Moses says, well, I can't speak. I'm not eloquent in my speech. Send somebody else. And then God is like, okay, fine. We can use Aaron to be your mouthpiece. But still, I'm going to use you. It's crazy that sometimes when we share excuses with God, God gives that blessing, that opportunity to somebody else, but still uses us to participate in the work that he wants to do here on earth. And so Moses still went in spite of his excuses. The truth is that some of us do not see God's call on our lives fulfilled, not because God has not called us, but because we make excuses for not following through. We perhaps second guess God's call in our lives. We think, overthink God's call, and yet do not act. Perhaps we entertain the idea that, oh, God has given me these passions to do this, and we like talking about about our passions, our commitments, what we want to do, what we want to do, and we never get to doing them. We proclaim our passions and what God is calling us to do in the community from the rooftops and mountaintops. But when it comes to act, when it is time to act, we stop ourselves from acting because of our excuses. Is really God calling me? Is He really calling me to do that? Is He really calling me to speak to that person, even though they've been on my heart? Even though I sense that God is calling me to speak to that individual? Is He really calling me to do this? It's weekend. Come on, it's weekend. I want to hang out with my friends. We always have a good time. Right? We tend to come up with many excuses. But in spite of our excuses, God still nudges us, still challenges us. He challenges us to step out of our comfort zone. It is common practice for us to make excuses and rationalize them. Many great things and projects that don't get accomplished because of this very reason. It is unfortunate that some of us do not let God to use us to the fullest potential. Communities, friends, siblings, co-workers may be longing for that genuine transforming word from you and longing for you to act out on your passions. You see, when God gives you passions, ideas to do certain things, when you do not act on them, you rob people of the good, of what will come out. Everybody has passions. Everybody has ideas. You want to do something good for the world. You want to do something good in your community. You want to do something good for your family. He has given you passions to do certain things. And when we sit on them, make excuses, and procrastinate and push it, we rob people of the good or that can come out. And so God wants to see transformation happen, right? God has called each one of us to do something positive, something good in our world. The kingdom of God begins to advance in our homes and workplaces. So how many times have we made excuses for the things that God called us to do? How long will we sit on it? When are we going to act? The second point, not being afraid. Jeremiah recognizes that he's young. No political power. And he realizes that he has to challenge these old establishments. And I don't know about you, but if you were young and God came up to you and said, I'm calling you to speak against the Ontario Premier and the Prime Minister and all the G8 or G7 leaders, if you will, it would be terrifying to do that. And not only that, but sometimes God calls us to speak the truth in our homes, and at times we're afraid to even speak the truth in our homes. We're afraid to convict other family members because we're afraid to rock the boat. And now when you put it on a higher level, Jeremiah, he's dealing with kings. He's dealing with people with power. And God realizes his fear. And he addresses it. He's like, do not be afraid. I am with you. Repeatedly in scripture, all the time, when God tells somebody not to be afraid, he tells them, he promises his continual presence. He's like, I will be with you. It is as though when God's presence is with us, when we're in God's presence, there's something that happens. it is as though we're different. It is as though God's presence gives us confidence. God's presence gives us the boldness to not be afraid and to act out. And repeatedly, God always does that with Moses. He says, do not be afraid. I will go with you. My presence is going to go with you. Same thing with Joshua. My presence will be with you. Repeatedly, God does that. And with Jeremiah, he's like, don't be afraid. I will go with you. My presence will go with you. And perhaps this morning, God is calling you to do certain things. But I want to encourage you that God is our champion. When I think about being afraid, and when God calls us to do certain things and we're afraid to act out on them, I think about Peter when he was in the boat and he saw Jesus walking on water. And Jesus called him, step out of the boat, Peter. Peter was excited. He got out, started walking. But as soon as he saw the waves, he was afraid. As soon as he took off his eyes off Jesus and saw the waves, he was afraid. And sometimes we're like that. God calls us to do certain things, and what we fix on is just how difficult that thing is going to be. We focus on that. And we never realize that the one who has called us to do something great is bigger than that problem, is bigger than the situation itself. And yet, our eyes just is fixated on that one thing. Oh, it's going to be difficult. I don't want to do it. I'm really afraid. It's really scary. I don't want to step out of my comfort zone. And God addresses Jeremiah's fear. Do not be afraid. My presence will go with you. God is our champion. We're victorious in Him. It is only God who makes us brave to do the very things that He calls us to do. He calls us to step out of our comfort zone. He dares us to make kingdom impact in our communities. The strength we show in following up on our calling comes from Him. Perhaps some of us may be afraid of speaking the gospel truth to close friends. Or maybe people who are not your friends. God may be calling you to step out of your comfort zone to do something that you have been sitting on for so many years. Are you being called by God to do those things, to serve perhaps in a certain area of ministry, a church, perhaps to tell a friend, a close friend about Jesus and His redeeming power? Maybe God is calling you to start living in truth and renounce falsehood. Maybe He's calling you to be vocal about your faith at work and also at home. Maybe He's calling you to cultivate a Christian household and you're afraid to rock the boat. What exactly are you afraid of? What is God calling you? What is God truly calling you? God has assures us. He assures us that His presence will be with us and He is going to be our refuge. No matter what circumstances we find ourselves in, no matter what trials come our way, His presence is enough. His presence is our refuge. Our King is a victorious King. He has not given us a spirit of fear. If you commune with God every day, God has a way of making His desires and plans known to you and instills them in your heart. So why not allow God's presence to fuel you up, to empower you to do the very things that God is calling you to do? Isaiah 41 verse 10 says, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. There, again, says God, I will be with you. Don't be afraid. 1 John 4 verse 18 says, There is no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear. It is as though when you are wrapped around in God's love, God's love casts out fear. Joshua 1 verse 9, it says, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." If God is for you, no one can stop the Almighty. And if He has called you to do a particular thing, He will fulfill that for you. Do not be afraid. The last point is to respond with courage and confidence. God has given Jeremiah reasons for Jeremiah to be strong and courageous. He's like, "I'll be with you. Do not be afraid. I'll give you the right words to say. I'll make you a fortified city," right? "I'll make you an iron pillar when you come against, when you confront these kings. I'll be with you. I'll make you strong." And this language, a very triumphant language, to really give you confidence. And the confidence and the courage that you have, it's not drawn from you particularly, but it's drawn from God's presence. God is the source of our courage and confidence when we step out of our comfort zone to do the very thing that God is calling us to do. And Jeremiah realizes this, that whatever he's going to do, he has to embrace God's call with courage and confidence, despite of the fact that he's young, despite of the fact that he has no right words to speak. God will be his refuge. God will be his strength. God will protect him. And so the evil that Jeremiah denounces in these kingdoms, God will obliterate it. God is going to act on his behalf. The good that Jeremiah sees in these kingdoms, God will allow them to proliferate. Again, God will act on his behalf. And he gives Jeremiah two visions of an almond tree. He says, "When you see the branch of an almond tree, remember that my calling on your life will be fulfilled." And then he gives him another vision of a boiling pot tilting towards the south. That's where the kingdom of Jerusalem was, of Judah was. And it really signifies and confirms the judgment that will be visited upon Judah. And it really reaffirms the call that Jeremiah has, that no matter what happens to Jeremiah, whether he gets persecuted, whether he finds trouble on his way to confronting the kings, God will still fulfill his call. And perhaps some of us today have dreams, visions, goals that God has given you. And perhaps you're afraid. Maybe like Jeremiah, you've come up with lists of excuses. It's not going to work because of this, because of that. Or maybe you're afraid to step out of your comfort zone. The passage here is challenging us to step out of our comfort zone and embrace that very call with courage and confidence. I'm going to invite the team, the worship team, to come up. And before they play the song, I want us to partner up with one person. And I want us to really share what God is calling you to do. If you commune with God, right, God repeatedly gives you ideas and desires to do certain things. He calls you to do certain things. And I want you to share with this person what those things are, what they are. And the other thing is, as a church, we have sensed that God has given us a call to be involved in this community. Yes, there are many other churches in this community, but what specifically is God calling us to make, to do in this community? What unique impact does God want us to make? And that very vision is not just for the pastoral team, it's also for all of us. And so as a church, all of us, we have to really think about how each one of us is going to participate in that very vision. What ideas are coming to your mind? What ideas is God giving you? What ideas can you contribute on how we can effectively impact this community? Every one of us has a role. And so with that person, you're going to share about one specific thing that God is calling you to do. And then the second thing is to pray for this community, that God will open up doors for us as we continue to be involved in this community. And if you have ideas, projects, or things that you also want to share and do, please make it known to us. And all of us, we're going to participate in this together. And so when you team up with that person, yes, share one thing that God is calling you to do, and then pray, and then also pray for each other that God will fulfill that call, that calling that is on your life. So I invite you all to partner up with one person. We're going to talk for 5 minutes or so, and then after that I'll close.